I am so grateful for that reminder of God's amazing unconditional love for you and for me. We hope that everything we say and do today will be a reminder of that love that you can experience personally in your life today. As we contemplate that truth, I want to invite you to join me as we dive into a brand new message series we've simply titled, Made for More. Now, the question that many of you are probably asking is, more of what? Are we talking about more ice cream, more chocolate, more money, more laughter? What are we talking about, Wes? Well, if you're like me, you would be okay with more of all of those things. Unfortunately, ice cream, chocolate, money, laughter, those are not actually going to give us a more fulfilling, meaningful, significant life. This series, Made for More, is going to help us figure out how to live every single day with passion, with purpose, and with meaning. Now, this is a really critical topic for us in our world today because so many people are saying they feel like they're living a just sort of passionless, empty, boring life. They sort of go through the same routine, the same stuff every single day. Pastor Mike Brough, in his little book, Making Ripples, described the sort of same old patterns we often have this way. He said, we get up at the same old time, shut off the same old alarm clock, walk in the same old bathroom, look at the same old face in the mirror, get in the same old shower, dry off with the same old towel, and put on the same old clothes. Then we walk down to the same old kitchen, get out the same old bowl, pour out the same old cereal, eat it with the same old spoon. We drink the same old coffee, check the same old news site, and kiss the same old spouse. After that, you get in the same old car, drive the same old way to the same old job, sit at the same old desk, laugh at the same old jokes told by the same old boss in the same old way. Eventually, you clock out at the same old time, and you get back in the same old car, drive down the same old street, pull into the same old garage, hug the same old kids, walk back into the same old kitchen, and eat the same old dinner. Finally, you walk into the same old family room, sit in the same old recliner, watch the same old TV shows, fall asleep in the same old chair, get up and go to the same old bed. You ask your spouse the same old question, you get the same old answer. So you roll over, set the same old alarm clock, and then you get up the next morning and do the same old thing all over again. That's the way a lot of people live their lives. That's life for them. Now, there's nothing wrong with familiar. Not everything can always be exciting. Not every day is going to be filled with something new. But what if we could live with a sense of purpose every day? What if we could do the familiar with passion and joy? I think most of us really desire to do more than just work for a chunk of years, make a few bucks, build up our 401k, then buy a golf cart and spend the rest of our days just sort of tooling around the neighborhood waiting to die. Most of us want so much more for life. William Wallace in the movie Braveheart said it so well. He said, "All men die, but very few really live." Most of us want to really live. That's why the words of Jesus that the disciple John wrote down resonate so deeply in our souls. John, writing down the words of Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 10, said it like this, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." You might just want to read those words right out loud with us together. "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." What does Jesus mean when he says that he wants us to live life more abundantly? Well, if you want a definition, more abundantly means to exceed the need, to have more than is necessary, to be filled beyond measure, filled to overflowing. The New Living Translation says more abundantly is a rich and satisfying life. Yet many people, in spite of Jesus' promise, they live with a sense of restlessness, or what one author called a holy discontent. They may not be saying that life is bad, they just want more. They believe they were made for more. So the obvious question is this: how do we experience this abundant life? How do we live more abundantly? How do we experience a rich and satisfying life? What does it mean to be made for more? What does that look like? And how do we shift from simply going through the motions of life without any joy and passion and purpose to joy, passion, purpose, significance in our life? Well, to help us gain some insight into a made for more life, we're going to take a look at a little New Testament letter called Ephesians. The Apostle Paul writes to Christ followers living in the city of Ephesus. And in that city, around 60 or so AD, there is a thriving church plant. And Paul writes to encourage them in their spiritual walk. And he wants to help them understand what is necessary for them to experience this abundant life that Jesus desires for every single follower of His. So each week during this series, we're going to pull a big idea, a big thought out of one of these chapters in the book of Ephesus. It's not going to be a verse-by-verse study, but we're just going to unpack one big idea from chapters 1 through 6 over the next 6 weeks. Now, a great way for you to prep your mind and prep your heart for this series is to read a chapter of Ephesus every single week, or Ephesians every single week. And so this week, we'd love for you to read Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to dive into it this morning. And when you look at Ephesians chapter 1 in your Bible, or you have your Bible app open on your phone, when you look there, you see that immediately that Paul is a huge fan of the people who make up the family of Christ followers in this city. In the very first verse, Paul says, "I am writing to faithful followers of Christ Jesus." And in verse 15, he says, I have been thanking God for you since the very first time I heard about your strong faith and your love for people everywhere. He says, I've not stopped thanking God for you. These are good people. Their faith is strong. They are faithful followers of Jesus. And they are described by Paul as people who love others everywhere. Now, I would love for those descriptions to be true of us, of you, and of me. But Paul knows that in spite of where they are in their faith, they need to keep growing, they need to keep learning, they need to keep figuring out how to live a life abundantly as Jesus described. And so Paul says, I'm celebrating you, I'm celebrating the life that you're living, but then if you drop down to verse 16, he says, I'm also praying for you. Listen to these words. He says, I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in all the knowledge of God. Verse 18, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope He has given to those He has called, His holy people who are His rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. It's a powerful prayer from Paul that we will continue to grow in our faith. I think it's intriguing, however, because Paul doesn't pray that we would start doing something new. He doesn't ask God to help us develop a new habit or a new discipline. He doesn't pray that we would learn how to memorize more scripture or that we would go to church more often or give more in the offering. No, his prayer has everything to do with wisdom, understanding, insight, knowledge, and it's all centered on Jesus. Paul mentions Jesus by name 18 times in this first chapter. He reminds us that everything about our spiritual journey, from beginning to end, all is about Jesus. In fact, if you look at verse 4, Paul kind of unpacks this whole spiritual dimension about Jesus and the difference He makes in our life in these verses. He says, even before He made the world, God loved us, and He chose us in Christ to be holy without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gives Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in grace and kindness that He purchased our freedom with the blood of Jesus and forgave our sins. He showered His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Paul makes this incredible statement about Jesus' love, about God's plan. And then he says, I am praying that you would get to know Jesus better. He says, you're a person that Jesus loved enough to die for, so get to know Him more. The people who received this letter initially, and most of us, we are task-oriented, action-oriented people. Give us a list and we'll check things off one after another. But Paul's prayer is not that we put in more effort or that we do more stuff, but rather that we get to know Jesus. Paul is trying to help us understand that made for more living means a shift. It means a shift from more effort to more Jesus. More effort to more Jesus. The people in the Jewish culture, they thought that their entire connection to God was all about obeying the Ten Commandments and hundreds of other rules attached to them. They thought their relationship with God had everything to do with performing certain religious rituals meticulously. But Jesus didn't say, memorize this first and then follow me. He didn't say, bring this sacrifice or bring this offering first and do it perfectly and then follow me. Paul might have said, I know you're accustomed to a list of do's and don'ts. I know that's what you're accustomed to, but you need to make a shift from more effort to more Jesus, because Jesus is someone to be known. He's not a taskmaster just to please. Jesus never says, let me just look at all of the different issues of your life and see if you measure up. If you measure up, then I'll determine if you're good enough to really be one of my followers. Jesus doesn't say, well, I need for you to get your life on track and follow this list. I need you to get your reputation in order, and then I'll think about letting you follow me. No, Jesus just says, come follow me. It's not an obligation. It's an invitation. Jesus says, come follow me. Right in the middle of your real life and your real world, come follow me. Jesus extends the invitation to people like Peter and James and John, right in the middle of their real world while they're fishing. He says, come follow me. To Matthew, who is a tax collector, right in the middle of Matthew doing his job, he says, come follow me. Jesus gives us an invitation to know Him. And this invitation is not about a transaction, it's about a relationship. If you think back to Jewish culture that Jesus and His disciples lived in, when you became a disciple of a rabbi or a teacher in that time era, then you were doing more than just learning information so you could spit it out on a test. Becoming a disciple of a rabbi or a teacher in the Old Testament or New Testament, you not only followed them, but you were learning how to integrate their way of life into your life. So you followed the rabbi everywhere. You watched them, you learned. In fact, you spent so much time following the rabbi around on the dusty roads that at the end of the day, you would be covered with the dust of your rabbi. And an ancient Jewish blessing, which some of you have heard before, was this: may you always be covered with the dust of your rabbi. May you follow that rabbi so closely that you do what they do and behave like they behave and go where they would go. And like the disciples of the old Jewish rabbis, we need to think about knowing Jesus more, in accepting His invitation to know Him better, and to live out a relationship with Him, not out of obligation, but because of His amazing love for us and our response to the invitation to follow Him. The one thing that Jesus wants most of you and me today is our decision to live in such close relationship with Him that we are covered by His dust. Because Jesus always called his followers to be with him before he called them to do something. Please don't miss that. Jesus always called his followers to be with him before he called them to do something. And Paul says, Jesus came and he died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin, and he rose again, and you need to get to know him. You need to follow him. Paul is writing this letter while he's sitting in a Roman prison around 60 AD. And he had led a life filled with all sorts of adventure and activity, travels. He knew what it was like to do all sorts of stuff for Jesus. Yet he knows that before we can truly think about doing something for Jesus, we have to first determine who we are with Jesus. He says, you need to get to know this Jesus. You need to discover who he is. You need to discover who you are as you live out your life in relationship with him. And he says, when you know Jesus more, then we can begin to talk about what that looks like in the way that you live and the stuff that you do. So he prays, God, I want you to give them spiritual wisdom and insight so that they might grow in their knowledge of God. See, the result of getting to know Jesus more is that we actually have more spiritual wisdom and we have insight. Now, this wisdom, this insight is all about understanding more about Jesus so we can live out the mission Jesus gave to each of us in our lives, which is to love God fully and love each other unconditionally. This wisdom and insight, it's not so we can criticize and tear everybody else down or point out everybody else's issues. The wisdom and insight is so you and I can know Jesus more intimately, so we can follow him more fully. Now, I know in our world today, it's really, really popular to say, oh, I've gotten a special word from God, or I've gotten a prophetic word. And I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. God can work in however he wants to work. But what amazes me is how many of these special insights that people are supposedly receiving, they always have to do with what somebody else is doing wrong, rather than what God is saying to them personally. Very seldom does somebody say, you know what, I felt the Holy Spirit of God speaking to me, and he said, I need to work on this area of my life. What they often say is, I got this special word from God, and he told me that every pastor is not preaching what they're supposed to be preaching, or this church is not doing what they're supposed to be doing, or God told me who's going to be elected, so-and-so is going to be elected. Can I just tell you that most of that is nonsense? Because the kind of insight that Paul is praying for you and I to receive is a very personal experience. Now, certainly, this word of God, as he speaks to us, this insight, this understanding, it's going to impact the people around you, but it is primarily about you and me knowing Jesus more intimately so we can follow him more fully. Paul said, I'm praying that you will receive spiritual wisdom and insight, and I am praying, he says, that your hearts will be flooded with light, so that you can understand the confident hope that he has given to those he called. You see, as we begin to understand Jesus more and we grow in wisdom and insight, it enables us, Paul says, to live with a posture of hope. He says you can live with a confident hope. Now, that is not some sort of Pollyannish view of life and the world. It's not hope disconnected from reality. Living with a posture of hope means that we filter life through the truth and promises of God. Paul could look down the road from his prison cell, and he knew there was a very high probability that he would be killed for his faith in Jesus. But as he contemplated the possibilities, he came to this conclusion. He said, if I live, I'll live with Christ, and if I die, I'll be with Christ. So whichever happens, I win. Paul lived with a posture of hope. And we look at our world today. Do we get frustrated over certain things that are happening in our world today? For sure. Should we be concerned? For sure. Should we be praying and fasting as God leads us to about certain issues in our world? Absolutely. But being concerned doesn't mean that we run around like Chicken Little all the time crying out that the sky is falling. Because we know that whatever Satan means for evil, God can turn around and use for good. We can live with a posture of hope. And the more you know Jesus, the more hope-filled your life will be. Doesn't mean there won't be problems, doesn't mean there won't be issues, doesn't mean there won't be concerns. But it means you will look at the world around you. You will look at circumstances happening in your life through the truth and promises of God. Paul says, as you grow in spiritual wisdom, as you grow in insight, you're going to be able to live with a posture of hope. And his prayer continues. He says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for those who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. We talked about the amazing event of the resurrection just last week. And Paul is emphasizing that truth to us again. In fact, it's very interesting that Paul uses four different Greek words in this little section to describe God's power. His point is simply this: God's power is all-inclusive. It's complete. Nothing that you will face in your life is beyond the scope of God's power. And as we grow in insight, as we grow in wisdom, not only can we live with hope, but we can understand God's power at work in our lives. We begin to see that what is going on in our lives, God is actually at work. As we begin to understand more and more about God's power at work in our lives, we discover that God is always ready to help meet every single need and face every single obstacle. God's power is never stagnant. It's never out of commission. It's always actively working on our behalf. We discover that God is always, always fighting against the forces of evil on behalf of every Christ follower. We discover that no human power or spiritual power from the evil world can even begin to diminish God's power, which is at work. Paul says, as you get to know Jesus more, you begin to understand God's power at work in our lives. And Paul, later on in this little letter, talks about his own journey. Paul is a living example of Christ's resurrection power at work. His life is so dramatically changed that he goes from being a terrorist persecuting Christ followers to planting churches and sharing the good news of Jesus throughout the Roman Empire. He's a living witness to the power of a resurrected Jesus. And his prayer is that all of us will know Jesus more, that we will understand the life-transforming power Jesus wants to do in our lives. So as you think about knowing Jesus more, as you think about Paul's prayer, as you think about wanting to understand more and more who Jesus is so that you can grow in understanding and wisdom and insight, and you can live with a posture of hope, and you can understand God's power at work, could I just ask you, what shift do you need to make in your life to move from more effort to more Jesus? What shift do you need to make that will help you stop treating Jesus like a task or like an obligation, to actually living in relationship with him? Living in such close relationship that you are, as the Jewish folks would have said, covered with the dust of the rabbi. Many of you are familiar with a man named St. Patrick. St. Patrick was used by God to make an incredible difference in Ireland. And he wrote a prayer to begin the day. And it focused him on this core truth of needing more of Jesus every day in his life. And so, in Old English style, he wrote these words, this prayer. He said, I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me. And then he says, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right and Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise. And then he says, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in the eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. Patrick wanted to live so closely connected to Jesus that he realized he was always living right in the very center of Christ's love. And he wanted other people who saw him to not just see him, but to see Jesus. He wanted to move from just seeing Jesus as an obligation or a task to living in relationship with Jesus. And Paul says, you and I can be made for more than just doing the routine of life and just going through the same passionless routine every day. But it begins with us beginning to understand that Jesus wants for us an abundant life. And that abundant life comes as we know Jesus more and more. And it's not about effort. It's about relationship. As you think about what this means for you in your daily life, as you think about maybe shifts or adjustments that maybe you need to make so you can move from just effort to actually relationship with Jesus, I'd love to be able to pray for you the words of Paul and pray that these become a reality for you and a reality for me. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give spiritual wisdom and insight so that we might be able to grow in our knowledge of you and in our knowledge of Jesus. I pray that our hearts would be flooded with light so that we can understand the confident hope that we have in Christ. And I pray that you would help us to understand the incredible greatness of your power that is at work in our lives, the same power that brought Jesus Christ from the grave. God, as we live out this truth this week, we pray and we ask that you would help us to know you more fully every day, that we would live in more relationship with you, and that we would set aside the idea that following you is just about tasks that we tick off a list. Would you help us shift away from the idea that it's just about more effort and understand that you've invited us into a relationship with you every day. And God, would you help us? Would you help us to know you more fully and completely, and that our insight and wisdom would expand and we would know what it looks like to be made for more in our lives. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're so grateful that you joined us today. If there's a way that we can serve you, we invite you to go to our website and give us a way that we could serve you or pray for you, and you can do that by clicking on the connection card tab on our website. We also want to let you know that if you feel prompted to worship through giving, that you can do that online on our website as well, or by dropping it in the mail. We are so grateful for you being a part of our Grace Point family, and we look forward to seeing you next week.